Good morning, Blog
Blog Talk Radio.
Today is the 12th day of November 2019, and thank you for tuning in. Welcome to the Mornings at the Mansion, the men's edition.
Good morning.
It's Austin with Bobby McCanns.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Hallelujah.
Happy Veterans Day.
Good morning.
Thank you to all the veterans out there.
Yeah, good morning, Dante Clifford. Good morning, brother Jamal Green. What's up? I know you tried to call me, Jamal. I got to get back at you. I'm doing a show this morning. I'm calling you after the show. But, yeah, it's Veterans Day. And if you can't tell, you can see the decoration. Good morning, Jeff Sager. See me that decoration there. It's an American flag. Yeah, good morning.
I said I was
getting up. Yeah, how we looking? Yeah, good morning. Good morning, El Hajj. Abakar Kiyada.
Good morning, Pastor Rick.
Tell us where you're watching from, El Hajj. Good morning, Billy Fetter. 11421 Franklin K. Lane in the house. Good. Man, it's Veterans Day. Wow.
Dalis. Good morning.
I knew it was a holiday today.
Ron Monroe.
Woo! Morning, Ron. Ron Monroe. I didn't even know the name of the show, but tune into the Ron
Exhort.
Monroe show.
Exhort with Ron Monroe.
Okay, good. Yeah, my buddy Jamal is going to have his veterans breakfast this morning. Good.
Praise
yeah.
The Lord.
Oh yeah, Jamal was in the Navy, I believe. Yeah. Thank you for your service, brother Jamal. All right. Good morning, brother Billy. Woo, Billy Fetter.
Bless you, brothers, and all of our veterans. Pastor Rick said, "Bless all of our veterans." Hallelujah.
Yeah. Thank you, Pastor Rick.
How many of y'all understand that freedom is not free?
Yeah.
A high price was paid.
Good morning, Mike Mullaney, NYPD in the house. We also respect our ones that are on duty, all the police and the fire and the EMS, all our first responders in the country. We pray for that and ask God to give wisdom and blessings and protection, Lord. And bless the work of that.
Jesus'
name. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, wow, we've got a lot of people tuning in. Yeah, well, today's topic I'm real excited about because it's something that a lot of us need to come to understand. Did you come to serve or be served? And a lot of us have, you know, there's two different attitudes to have towards, you know, Christianity, and sometimes we have it wrong. But did you become a Christian to serve or be served? And that's what we need to ask ourselves. And that's what.
You know, I was thinking about that this morning. And how, you know, it's Veterans Day today, and there's a lot of people who will join the military. Some join the military to get out of trouble. You know, I've heard of people that were having to, you know, they had a choice of prison or military, so they joined the military.
Yeah.
And some people join the military for benefits, and then some people join the military because they love their country.
Yeah.
And I was thinking how that, you know, the same thing with you know, becoming a Christian. You know, you become a Christian. First of all, because of godly sorrow, the repentance of sin, you know, you're convicted of your sin, but the real reason to become a Christian is because you love your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, that's when you serve, you know, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I mean, we all know the thing is like, good morning, Mark Fresco. Hallelujah.
Good morning, Mark.
Shout out to all the Freeman Houses.
The Freeman House.
Great work, and I'm sure they got some veterans up in that,
Yeah, for sure.
We pray blessings on them all. The thing is, it's the way you come in, and it's the attitude you have. And a lot of people became Christians for a sleeping bag or a new Bible, and that's fine. Because you know what? You can't escape. God will get a hold of you, and it doesn't matter what your motives are in the beginning. If you're willing to turn your ways, repent, move in a different direction, you allow the Holy Spirit to come in and touch your heart, clean up the mess, you will get converted, and you will. Good morning, Chris Roach. Good morning. You will get converted. And, you know, God will start working on you. You know, and change your heart.
Yeah,
that's what it's all about. And
he who has begun a good work will carry it out to completion on the day of Christ Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. And if
we
come
just
in,
have to submit.
You got to understand that. Just, you know, today's Veterans Day, and again, it wasn't planned that we have this topic and title, but it's good that we did because. Just like you said, Bobby, some people serve, but they say, well, I don't know. I'm going to figure it out. I don't know what to do. I don't want to go to college. I'm going to, you know, figure out on the government dime. I'll go to the Army. They'll give me a new uniform. We're going to figure it out. And that's fine. But then you're right. Some people come in with the heart. Like, my grandfather was a Marine. My daddy was a Marine. And I'm going to be a Marine. And I'm going to get a medal. I'm going to serve with everything, even if it costs my life.
Because I love the country.
Yeah. Some people, you know, they put every effort into it. They don't care if they you know, they pay the ultimate sacrifice, as they say, you know, and that's the way Jesus was. He didn't come just, you know, on a vacation from heaven. He came down for the real deal. He was sent, and he accepted, and he came down. We get into all that, but it's important we know there's many different ways to serve, but the first thing we do, and anything we do in the name of Jesus, anything we do for the Lord, we have to recognize our the motives of our heart.
Yes.
Yeah. Some people I heard even say, well, I'm going to find myself a good church, because, you know, I know that church up the road, they got some pretty girls, you know, going there. I see them. I'm going to become a Christian. You know, stuff like that. It all depends, you know, what their motives are. You know, I've seen that other church up the street at a bounce house. I'm going to join it to my kids to bounce in the bounce house.
Right. But, well, and you know, you know, and when you think about it, it's just like to be a soldier. I mean, I would want to be fighting next to a soldier who was there because he loved his country.
Yeah,
that, you know, number one, and it's the same thing in the kingdom of God. You know, when people are serving out of love, because they love they love Jesus because he first loved us. Then, man, you know, you want to get in the trenches with him.
No kidding. Yeah, we can't be like have the attitude, you know, as Christians, we come to church, we get saved, born again, whatever, and we're punching a time clock. But that's not how it was. Well, you see somebody needs some help in the Walmart parking lot. They're crying with a baby. You know, maybe they got a flat tire or something, and you just walk by and don't wave and say, keep going. Because, well, this is Monday. I've done my outreach on Saturday from 11:30 to 12:30, so I don't got time to get involved. I got to go get me one of those phone chargers, because my phone's only already on 67%. I'm going to lose my charge. You know what I mean? They blow through a stop sign, so to speak. God say, hey, slow down. I want to use you right now somewhere, but you don't even recognize it because your heart is not truly in the servant's position. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's what we're talking about this morning. We're going to go to the Bible and see what the Bible says. You know, when you become a Christian, the ultimate goal is to become like Christ. And that's what we're going to go. We're going to go to the Word and see what the Word says about how Jesus lived.
Amen. Yeah. So we're praying this morning real quick here, team, because I know there's a lot of people watching getting ready for the scripture. But Father in heaven,
thank you, Lord.
Holy name, Lord, we thank you today, Lord, and we don't take for granted the breath in our lungs this morning, Lord. As we know it's Veterans Day. Most people out there that are honest, I say the ultimate sacrifice to defend this country, Lord. We will live in a way, and we will sacrifice ourselves, our body, our minds, our hearts for your word and your glory, Lord. And we pray for all those out there, the veterans that are here with us, that will listen. And then we also pray for the veterans that are passed and paid the ultimate price, Lord. We pray and bless them. Lord, give us wisdom and give us understanding as we surrender to you, your words, not our words, not our opinions, but what you want to come forth today on this show, Lord. We bless you, Jesus, in your mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Your kingdom come, Lord. Your will shall be done.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
All right. So here it is. So we need to know what's going on out there. So we're going to start off with Mark 10. Because, again, it's about, you know, two people, all right? Someone shows up to the place, and they, you know, they're serving. They're serving at the church. They're doing, say, being an usher, collecting the money. Now, there's two different ways. So one guy shows up, you know, on the left side, and he's got the servant's heart. He's doing it because he wants to help Jesus Christ and ultimately the church. The other guy on the other side, because he wants to tell everyone, his mama, his baby mama, or whatever, had talked to him a while, but he's a Christian. Now, look, I'm a Christian because I'm an usher at the church. You know what I mean? You got to check the motive. So here's what it says in Mark 10:41. All right? James and John came to Jesus, and they said, Jesus, you know, when your kingdom is set up, and they even had their mother there, and said, would you let us sit on each side of you, one on the right, one on the left? So they were looking for the seats of honor, which they talk about a lot in the Bible. A lot of the Pharisees, Sadducees, they wanted the seats of honor so they could be recognized in their with their ranking or level of you know, godliness, so to speak. They thought, but they didn't know. See, the level of godliness can't be recognized typically by what seat you're sitting in. It can be recognized by the heart. And here's what it says. When the 10 heard about this, so they got mad. They can't indigent with James and John. And Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them, but not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So it's real simple here. Jesus straight up said to them, you know, that, the presidents, the senators, and all the, you know, the, whoever is in authority in this world, even back then, in the day of Jesus especially, they ruled with an iron rod. They used by power, might, and position. Okay, they didn't rule by example, but he told them, not so with you. Jesus called them to come in and lead by an example. And that's what it's all about. We can't model ourselves as Christians after the political system or ways of this world. We need to realize that we don't fight our warfare with flesh and blood, with things in this world. This is through the Spirit of God. And God will lead you, especially if he's giving you a position of authority to stand in.
Yeah, and what's really important here is what Jesus said about, yet it shall not be so among you. And what he's talking about there is that the kingdom of this world, the way the world system runs and the way the kingdom of God runs are complete opposite. I mean, the Bible says friendship with the world is enmity against God. And what Jesus is saying is, okay, in the world, you have, man, I saw this picture one time, and it had Boss, and it had a guy with a whip, and these men were pulling this sled, and he was sitting in the sled whipping them, and it said Boss. And then it had another caption that said Leader. And the leader was out in front of the men pulling the sled. And that's what Jesus did. I mean, Jesus washed their feet. You know, he was showing them that the kingdom of this world is not the way that we are. He says, yet it shall not be so among you. And, you know, Pastor Mark was here from Uganda yesterday at our church. And he said something. I know you were in the children's ministry. And you missed it. But, man, I'm telling you, he said something. He said that we're all the same. You know, no one's above anyone else in the kingdom of God. No one's below anyone else in the kingdom of God by the blood of Jesus. And then Pastor Eric was reading out of Ephesians how Jesus gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And that's what, you know, even the pastors and teachers and evangelists are not above the saints. The pastors and teachers are to teach the saints and equip the saints for the work of the ministry.
Well, yeah, and again, we're talking about a system that's been in place before Jesus even came and was born in the flesh. We're talking about the hierarchies of the church and sort of, you know, I could get into many different things. We're not going to talk about this, but the fact of the matter is people do come to serve because it's a title, all right? It's a title, and it's not a title. This is about a service. And in this world, you know, we rule by position or power, but in the kingdom, we rule by meekness. Okay, that's power under constraint or in control. Okay, we know who we are. We don't have to flaunt it, you know, run around with a bunch of stripes. You know, I'm a five-star pastor. You know what I mean? I'm a three-star outreach. Woo! Get out of my way. You're only two stars. Back off. That means I got this. You know, it ain't like that. Okay, because here in the world, the leaders, they lead by force, okay? But in the kingdom, we lead by example, okay? In the world, it's a duty, okay? Okay, but in the kingdom, it's a privilege, okay? This is not what, you know, it's a privilege to serve God. And that's where the first part of the heart, if that chamber, you got to open it up and clear it out, because if you're looking at it as a duty and an assignment, oh, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace, and I'm going to mow the lawn and put the weed killer in the back of the church, and I got to sweep the leaves from the parking lot. No, look, hey, man, this church, this is my church. This is where I serve. This is where I congregate. This is where I worship. Man, there's some leaves in the parking lot. Get the blowing. You know what I mean? There's a weed or something. Pull it out. That's all it is. It's not about what you could get.
Well, yeah, and
it's about what you give.
It's not about what you can get, but, you know, I'm going to disagree with you about the duty, because the Bible says it is our duty to serve. I mean, but it's got to be out of love. It can't be out of, duty is defined as the action required by one's position. So when you're an ambassador of Jesus Christ, when you're a son of God, there is a duty. I mean, the Bible says it, you know, so I'm not trying to discredit you on this, but there is a duty, but it's done. It has to be out of love. You have to love the Father, and you have to love Jesus Christ, love the Holy Spirit. And then it's a duty, just like, okay, what, like authority. With authority comes responsibility. Does that make sense?
Yeah. All right, so we need to look past our needs, and we need to see the needs of others.
Yeah.
All right, so that's real simple. All right, Bob, we're going into...
First Peter?
Yeah, go ahead.
First Peter chapter 5, verse 1 says, "The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but by being examples," just like you talked about. Jesus was our example, being examples to the flock. "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Godly leadership is to equip, not to whip. And when the leader is humble, then God will give the grace for us leaders to lead. That's what the grace is for. And, God resists the proud. You know, that word resist is like a stiff arm. You know, like, Dallas Cowboy game. Zeke Elliott should have used his stiff arm more last night. But that stiff arm, you know.
Yeah.
God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So when we leaders lead by example, God's going to give us more grace and the strength to do it.
Yeah, and when it says here, the thing about Peter, he was the rock. He was the one that Jesus, he walked with Jesus. He was the rock. I mean, he was one of Jesus' closest friends or allies or apostles here in the world when Jesus walked in the flesh. And he walked with Jesus. But at this point, he says, "I was a witness of Christ's sufferings, his sufferings, which is a sacrifice." A sacrifice is something we choose, okay? It's not like, we choose to sacrifice, okay? It's a choice that we make. So it says that, "These shepherds of God's flock, the believers on care, watch over them, though not because you have to, instead because you want to." Okay, so even Peter did not consider himself above the elders. He considered himself equal with the elders. Don't you realize we're all equal? We're all five-star generals, or we're all privates. It doesn't matter. We're all serving the same purpose and the same kingdom under authority of God. He's the ultimate authority. So that we don't have any authority unless it comes through God. So here it is. We have to go out there, and we have to know that this is something we want to do. This is our heart to God. And if it's not what we want to do necessarily, if it's not exactly what we want to do, that's fine. God will show us. And not everything we want to do in the beginning seems like we want to do it. But we have to know that it's God that shows us what needs to be done. And if we submit to that, we don't really get to choose what God planned for us. But the Bible tells us that he predestined his word. So, and don't get me wrong. You need to test the waters and see if you're not sure. But God will lead you if you let him. So that's what it is. So we have to be examples of what God wants us to do.
You know, and it's like things like in the actual church building, there are things that need to get done, like taking out the trash. I mean, if you think about it, there's not a whole lot of people that are called to take out the trash, but the trash has to be taken out. So sometimes you do things that need to be done, even though it's not your calling.
Yeah.
Now, I can't even think of how many times myself and Pastor Eric cleaned the church. And some of those times were the most, the power of God, the presence of God. God shows up. Man, I'm telling you. Cleaning the toilet, it has to be done. It's not a calling. It's just things that have to get done.
See, you need to know Christ's example of serving, like Peter followed it just by the passages he wrote. He was following the humbleness that Christ is showing. See, Peter was a little bit brazen before he got hit with the Holy Spirit, chopping people's ears off and yelling at kids and whatnot. He's a little bit crazy, but the Lord had shown him So it doesn't matter what way you are or what your condition. If you're willing to submit, God will show you need you, because God's looking for willing vessels. He's looking for people that he can flow his power and glory through.
Yes.
Not many people. That's where it all starts. If you want to see God move in a mighty way in your life, open up your heart and surrender and yield to the Spirit of what he's trying to do. And you'll see God's glory. You'll see miracles manifest before your very eyes. And you know, we need to not do things for our namesake. You know, people want to run around, oh, my ministry, this ministry.
Hey, good morning, Jack.
Hey, we don't have, this all belongs to Jesus Christ, every work we do. And we have to understand that. So don't think like you're doing God a favor, because you're not.
You know, I'd like to touch on this part here. You know, we are to submit to God, number one, but it also says right here, and be submissive to one another. And that's a challenge right now in the body of Christ is submitting to one another. And Pastor Eric touched on this yesterday when he was preaching, and it's the unity in the body and how we need to build each other up, not tear each other down. And, you know, I probably said this before, but I played on a baseball team that we had the most talent on that team. I mean, ex-professional baseball players, ex-college baseball players, and we were talented. But as soon as we started fighting amongst ourselves, we lost every single time. The only difference in the kingdom of God is Jesus said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against
it. So it says, don't do it, okay? Hear me. Watch over the sheep or the flock, though, not because you have to, but instead because you want to. That is what God wants you to do. So that's God's will. That is what God wants you to do. Don't do it because you want to get money in dishonest ways. That's another thing. Don't open up a ministry because you think you're going to get tax benefits and it's going to pay for your this, that, and the other thing. It's going to pay for something. But let me tell you something. We are entitled to our compensation as workers for God, you know, those who are in the Word, the labor. But guess what? Don't do it as a business. It's not a ministry. It belongs to Jesus Christ. So do it because you really want to serve. It says don't do it as if you were under. Do it. Don't act as if you were a rule over those you care. Okay? The examples of God. So don't come in with this attitude like, ooh, I'm in charge. It doesn't work that way. And you got to have love in your heart for these people. And God will give you a love for the things you're doing. So, you know
that's
that.
Right. And that's what, I mean, like, you know, with you and me and Laura, we hang out quite a bit, like going to the prison and stuff. And it's not a task. I mean, it's a blast. It's what it is.
Yeah.
And you know, I heard this saying one time, if you love what you're doing, you'll never work a day in your life. You know, and that's what it is. The same thing with the kingdom, man. I mean, when the Holy Spirit's in you, you have the Spirit of Almighty God living in you. So you're going to love doing the things of God. Amen.
All right. We're going into Philippians, and if you're following through, Philippians 2, verses 5, it says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he didn't think himself equally with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. So here it is. Peter talks about this example in the verse we just read, but this is the true example Peter was following right here in Philippians 2, because even though Jesus was God, he did not say, ooh, I'm God, you know, here I am, you know, do this, do that, go make me a chicken and go cut me up a cow and I'm giving a steak or something, go make some. No, it wasn't like that. Jesus came to serve, and he didn't think of himself as God. So he came in. So think about this. You as a Christian were born again believers, and God giving us a position of some type of authority. But we can't act that way. We can't say, oh, get out the way, I'm a 5-star pastor. Or, you know, no. We have to walk in humbleness. That's what God, Jesus set aside his right as a citizen of heaven, his privilege, glory, and his power to come down to save us. He died on the cross undeservingly, because he didn't, it was our penalty he took. So the same way when Jesus took our penalty of sin that wasn't, that he didn't deserve, a penalty he didn't deserve. The same way when we're doing things in God, we don't need to try to take the glory because we don't even deserve that either. Okay? So we need to understand that. So when we think that we're going to get off, you know, trying to receive glory from men, if that's what you're in it for, that's all you're going to receive.
You know, Jesus didn't even try to receive the glory. It says right here he made himself of no reputation.
Yeah.
And what that means by he made himself, it means he went a conscious effort to make himself of no reputation. You know, I've read so many times where Jesus would heal somebody and say, don't tell anyone. And then they would go tell everyone. And then he tells us to tell everyone, and we don't tell anyone. And it's like, man, wait a minute. That's backwards. But Jesus made himself of no reputation. And, you know, we the Bible says that in the last days, people will be lovers of themselves. And we talk about this all the time about selfies. But to be Christ-like and to be an example, like we just read, we need to make ourselves of no reputation the same way. And, you know, he died on the cross, and we don't have to die. We can be a living sacrifice, which the Bible says is just our reasonable service. And reasonable just means logical. And what that means is it's logical to – it's like if someone came up to you and knocked on your door and said, hey, I'm paying your mortgage off, it would be logical for you to be grateful. Jesus paid our death penalty, so it's logical for us to be grateful to him. You know, I mean,
you know, when I first came in, born again when I was young in the faith, probably less than 2 or 3 years ago, too, we come in with this attitude, you know, we feel the love of God, we know God is real, he reveals himself, but then we act as entitled children. When it's not that way, we have to be humble servants, and we have to let someone sometimes get a knock or chip off our shoulder, or we have to recognize ourselves and brush it off. But God's authority is established through service, not from power. So we need to recognize that, okay? I don't care how big your ministry is. I don't care how many stadiums you're filling. If your heart's not right, it doesn't matter. God will use you. You rocks and donkeys. But guess what? You need to be able to test, know that it's about the heart, a servant's heart. If you don't have a servant's heart, what do you have? Because here's the thing. The type of personal sacrifice that came from Jesus Christ himself and all the apostles that walked with him and served with him, all the great servants of God throughout the history of the world, the Bible, whatever it is, these people that sacrificed everything here, they couldn't do it because if they didn't have the love of God flowing through them. Okay, you can't do it. The love is so powerful. You can't just do it as a servant. You have to do it. You know, it's more than the flesh. It has to come through the heart and the spirit. So if you don't have love of God, the love of God working through you, you're not gonna live up to the potential or the capacity of God's trying to achieve. If God's bigger than us, and anything we can do in the flesh, God will be sometimes greater. Through us with his spirit.
Yeah, I think it was Paul who said that it's the love of Christ that compels us. It's the love of Christ that pushes us on, so to speak. You know, that's what it is. And like Eddie, like you're saying, if it's done for any other reason than the love, it's just dead works is what it really is. And it's going to get burned up, wood, straw, and hay.
Well, again, we have to know our motives, and I don't care. You could be 100,000 children in Africa, okay, or you could give a half a sandwich to a man sitting by the dumpster, okay. It doesn't matter. The man who gave a half a sandwich sitting by the dumpster, is always in the right place. He got a reward in heaven. His father saw it. No one else saw it, but his father saw it in heaven, and God honored and respected that, okay. But the guy who's fed 10,000 children, he was on Facebook Live, and he's running around, you know, with everyone clapping and applauding, and he's running with the sandwich. His heart's not the right place.
And it can happen to anyone. So it's not, this is not, what we're talking about right now, it's not in any way condemning. I mean, even the Apostle Paul said, I examine myself, lest after I preach, I become disqualified. So, I mean, we just have to keep our guard up, because the devil is sneaky. I mean, the devil, pride is what brought the devil down, brought Lucifer down, and he turned into Satan. So we have to be, as long as we're in this flesh, I heard somebody put it like this, if the devil can't knock you down, he'll pat you on the back. So just examine yourself. Make sure that, you know, just ask the Lord to show you, for him to show you your heart.
If you're going out for any other reason, any other motive than to demonstrate the love of God, you got to check your motives, okay? Jesus gave up his divine privilege, he said. So we need to also understand that we don't need to be acting as privileged people. We are humble.
Yeah.
The words will humble us. It will humble you regardless of what you're doing. You could, again, even if you're standing in front of a million people like Billy Graham did in 1972 in South Korea, he had a million people, but he was standing in front of him. He was a humble man.
Yeah. And he had to make himself of no reputation. Because, I mean, people were applauding him and, you know, just patting him on the back, this, that, and the other. He just had to realize that he was just a son of God. You know, the love of Christ was compelling him to do what God has called him to. And the thing about it is, humility is simply doing things God's way instead of our own way. And when we realize that the God of all creation has prepared a path for each one of us, and that we should walk in, the Bible says. When you walk in that path, I mean, there's nothing like it. When you're walking in what God's called you, and he prepared that before the foundation of the earth.
You know, we need to have the same attitude as Christ. That's what the Bible tells us. So you must have the same attitude Jesus Christ has. So again, the attitude is the motive and the condition of the heart when ultimately when it falls on. So we have to really always check our motive. We always have to be aware. It's a maintenance. It's a maintenance thing. You know, you maintain your car, right? Check the oil, put the gas in it. Same thing with us, what we're doing. And it's not just, you know, once a month, once a year. You know, you got to check yourself on a regular basis, especially when God's using you in a way where a lot of people look at you and say, wow, you know, God's using that person. You have to stay humble. Humble is key. That's how the authorities established. Not by power and might, it's by the humbleness and the meekness. And knowing that it's God.
Yeah, and it all starts with the relationship. We're talking about serving right now, but it has to start with the relationship. It's like with Mary and Martha. Martha was busy serving, and Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. The Bible says listening to his words. And, you know, Mary was the same one who broke the alabaster flask and anointed Jesus for his burial. So it's not that she didn't serve. But first, she had that relationship. First, she sat at his feet and soaked in his presence. And that's what we have to realize. It's all about relationship. And if you have a relationship with the resurrected Jesus Christ, the love of Christ will compel you.
Anything outside the motive of serving, you know, of the love of God, then you gotta check it really hard. Because it's the love of God inside of us that will compel us. Because guess what? I'm not going to go do anything for anybody unless God is inside of me, where he's doing me. What's my love? I would have, you know, hit the snooze button and turned over and slept.
What was it you said in prison on Saturday?
I don't remember.
Well, Saturday, we went to Cofield Prison, and Eddie, you were preaching, and you said that, I can't remember what you were talking about exactly, but you said that on a Saturday afternoon, you'd be hung over.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, and I was telling them, normally on a Saturday afternoon, I'd already be at the bar because I was hung over,
yeah.
And I had to drink again to get rid of the hangover.
Yeah.
But instead, we're you know, the love of Christ compelled us to go to Cofield Prison.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's not anything to do with us, because
no.
My love, again, I would hit the snooze button. I would,
yeah.
That's Monday morning, Veterans Day. I was a veteran, but my grandfather was and my uncle was. So guess what? Hit that snooze button, turn over, and finish the dream I was having. Guess what? Get up, you know, whatever. You know, here's the thing. We consider love to be an emotional feeling. No. Love is a commandment. Okay?
Yeah.
First and foremost, don't let your feelings and your emotions get in the way of the love of God, because that's what it is. Because God, love is... True love. What did the Bible say? If you love somebody, it's easy to love someone who loves you back, okay? Because that's what even the heathens do that, the sinners do that. But no, it's to love somebody that's more difficult. And that's truly the service end of it. That's when your heart is in the same, and when your mind and that attitude that Jesus Christ had. When you can do something for somebody that done you wrong more than once, done you dirty, as they say, you know, and just ran around and muddied up your reputation, put some bad Facebook posts. But if you can do some good for them, then you got the love of God operating through you.
Yeah, and that goes back to the example that Jesus was. I mean, the Bible says that Jesus, that even while we were yet sinners, God sent forth his Son. And Jesus died for, I mean, if you think about it, he was hanging on the cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And, you know, that's our example. So to be a living sacrifice, just like you're saying, is to love that person who the world calls unlovable. And,
Here's the thing.
We can't do it without the Spirit of God living in us.
God so loved the world, he didn't send chocolate or flowers and a get well soon card. He sent his Son to die. And that's the difference. Our love, let's just send him a sympathy card, or let's just send him flowers, or one of those things at the holidays when they give you like the cheese sticks and the steak. They send, what is that, Omaha steaks or something? Send them something. Okay, well, sorry, I prayed for you and all that stuff. That's fine. We don't get me wrong. But God calls you a different love. See, the love that God is talking about is agapeo. That's what it is in John 3:16. It's agapeo. That is a love that you can't use that word unless it's an action involved. So it's a love through an action. It's not a love where it's a feeling or emotion. No, get this. People get caught up Valentine's Day and stuff like that. No, love is an action and a sacrifice.
Yeah,
most of the
time. Well, I think it was James. I'm not sure, but I think it was James that said, if you go to your brother and say, you know, be warm and I hope you find some food or whatever. No, you get it, help them get warm. You don't just tell them to be warm.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna pray that God put send a warm front up the coast and it gets you by tomorrow. Yeah, next week. I'm gonna pray God sends you one of those Doro logs to put behind the dumpster and you can stand there. No, listen, we know that the paper that works today. And if you tell a man, it's also in John 3, John 1, 3. If you tell a man be blessed and be well, be full, but you don't do anything about it, then what good is that? Okay, if you have the riches of this world and the things of this world, but you walk by a brother in need, you're not truly serving the Lord and you don't have love because you love that item more than you love that person. So if you have a jacket, two jackets, and you like them both, but one man has no jacket, and you're going to say, well, man, I ain't getting those jackets. I'm going to come back later or something. You might come back later and find a guy sitting there stiff as a board blue, okay? Because it's happened. People have died in these women. Last year, we know ladies here in Dallas, and we're talking Dallas. So it doesn't matter where you are. I know there's a lot more colder regions in the country, and people that I'm talking to now, or in colder regions like New York. Don't forsake a work of God, because it says we're always working. Don't forsake a child of God in need for a material item which could easily be replaced 10 times over.
And there again, we're talking about, you know, Jesus as our example.
Yeah.
And in John 1, it says if we say that we abide in him, we ought to walk just as he walked. And so he gave up everything.
The attitude that Jesus, we have to be our example, and I don't care the church classes and the textbooks, and they say, Jesus Christ in the Bible is the example we follow, and this is what it is, okay? We don't watch the movies or anything like that, or listen to the preachers. We need to know for ourselves, because we'll get the revelation from ourselves, and a lot of times, you hear something, and you don't like it because, someone told it to you, but you know what? If we took on the responsibility to understand these things and study these things ourselves, people wouldn't have to tell us stuff. And until people would tell me stuff, but I wasn't listening because I had that chip on my shoulder and I felt that entitlement. But when I finally got into the Word of God, it humbled me. And I started to figure out the things for myself. And the people that told me things, I figured out that they were telling the truth, but I didn't want to hear them because it wasn't what I wanted to hear at the time. The Word of God will straighten you out. It'll get you set right. And we need to be studying, especially if you are serving God. All right? And we all need to serve God. But if you're in service and you're doing something like a prison ministry, an outreach, anything to do with communicating the Word of God to other people on God's behalf, you need to be in the Word constantly.
Yeah, definitely.
And fill yourself up because God's trying to show us things. Yeah. I don't know, should we take questions? You gotta do a question on the block? All right, so here it is. We're on the commercial break. All right. So we're at the mansion here in Park Row, Cantina Bay, Texas, and it's upstairs in studio.
Ladies. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. It's called the Jewel of Pantego. The Jewel of Pantego, also known as the Mansions on Park Row. They have everything. Yes, everything. Hairstylists, beauty and skincare specialists, massage therapists, fitness, and even a clothing and bridal boutique that has its own fashion designer and stylist. That's right. At the Mansions on Park Row, you'll find all that you need to look and feel your very best. Located at 2700 West Park Row Drive in Pantego, Texas. Come by and get pampered from head to toe. You've earned it.
Making money from your pocket and using that money to do other things for God. There's nothing wrong with that. You don't always have to fly a Facebook post or a GoFundMe page to get it all done. God will use blessed the work of your hands. So know that. And also when we go and patronize these type of businesses, we're patronizing God as well. So, you know, Pam Camolo downstairs, she does full service hair, nails and all that stuff. So, yeah, God bless you. So come in and check it out. We got massages. We got nails. We got hair extensions. We got anything you want here. All right. Toenails.
Pedicure.
Yeah.
And man, if you're out there, this is a men's edition. If you're out there and you never had a pedicure, man, I'm telling you, you will get hooked.
Yeah. All right. We also want to talk about it.
You will get hooked.
All right. So here's the thing. And also, this complex, there's several buildings here. One of the buildings out back, God had given Pastor Marlo Mozu the information or the plan to open up a congregation or a church, as most would say. It's called the House of Glory. See that? Yeah. So here it is. House of Glory is just as any other church. It's back in the 70s. Tamala Mosey, she's the head pastor. I know they've been around for about a month now, and they've grown. I think they need even more seats. So if you're in the Pantego Bay area on a Sunday, what time? 10 a.m. now? 10 a.m. That's when the service starts. You got to worship more. Come in. It's a very intimate setting. You get talk to the pastors and whatnot. So come in if you don't have a home church and you're just visiting, or you want to check out other churches. Maybe you're trying to look for something else. That's fine. Come and check it out. And that's it. And then, we got the Bling of the Earth, all right? I don't know much about it, but it's on Saturday, January 25th. Okay. Yeah, it's going to be the Bling of the Earth Kings and Queens Conference. Kings and Queens. So anyone who's interested, it's a co-ed, men and women are invited. An atmosphere where the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords crown his people, a time to become empowered in knowing who you are. I'm going to let the ladies talk about it more tomorrow because they got more information. But, yeah, tune in. We're having a conference on the 25th of January, so get ready if you want any more competition. Ask the Bobby McCain's. We'll see. All right? See? It all started here on a small radio blog show. And he lifted up to new levels. So, yeah. So, know that. That's just some of the things. So, Bobby, talk a little bit, I guess, about prison.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about, first of all, if you're over in the Hawkins City area, we're at Crosswalk Church.
Yeah.
And it is 2601 Thomas Road, Hawkins City, 76117. And I'm for 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. Okay, we have a fellowship meal at 6 o'clock on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
And prison ministry, the prison ministry is growing. If anyone's interested in getting involved in prison ministry, contact me at bobbypm@yahoo.com. And we went from Saturday to Saturday, we went to four different prisons. And God, I'm telling you, is working mightily. I was thinking about this morning, how, Jesus, when Jesus was resurrected, he walked through a wall. And those prison walls cannot stop the move of God. Jesus is walking through those walls as well. And, man, I'm telling you, if you've never done it and you feel a drawing to get involved in it, get involved, because I'm telling you, those men are hungry. I'm telling you, they worship God like you. I mean, it's an honor to be a part of it, you know, what God's doing, because he is moving in a mighty way in those prisons. So contact me at BobbyPM@yahoo.com.
Yeah, and again, these things that we do for God, be sure we have to also pray and understand that God wants to do something. Prison ministry is not for everyone.
Definitely.
You know, and God didn't call the whole church in there. But it is very good ministry to be involved in, especially anything very good to be involved in, God called to it. But yeah, there's a lot of good work inside the prison. God moving mightily.
Yeah, and you know, not only prison ministry, but nursing home ministry you can get involved, a homeless ministry you can get involved in, outreach, just going out on the streets and telling people about Jesus Christ. I mean, there's so many ways you can get involved.
I assure you, God tells us that there's a plan, a purpose for all of us. He predestined it before he put us even here. We even be here if we have a function or a purpose for God. So, and again, if we're not walking in it, it's really important. Again, I wasn't walking in it right away. I thought I was. But we need to be, number one, you need to get into a good church, a good congregation. And you got to also have a good relationship with God. He will lead you. And sometimes he'll use others to show you. All right? And you'll know. It's the kind of thing you'll know when you're involved in it. It might not seem good at first. You might not like it at first. But God bless you, though. You diligently seek him and you are steadfast in his ways. So, you know, but get with the Lord about it. You know, get with a good church and do with it. And you know, that's the way it is. More about service. So, it's worth going up to Ruth. We're back off the commercial now. Welcome back to our radio. So we enjoyed the last game with Philippians, right? So we're going to go into
Luke 17. Yeah. Luke 17, starting in verse 7. The Bible says, "And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he is coming from the field, 'Come at once and sit down and eat'? But will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me until I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink?' Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all these things which you are commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do.'" That's why I was saying a while ago, duty is action required by one's position. And our position as ambassadors of Jesus Christ is to do what he's commanded us to do. And when we do that, the commandment of go and preach the gospel to all creatures, I mean, that's the number one commandment. And when you do that, I mean, when you flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and you flow in what God wants you to do, it's not like work. I wish I could now I know what Paul means when he says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren." He's begging them. I beg you to get a hold of this, man, because being a Christian is not hard. It's really not, because the same Spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead comes and lives on the inside of you, and he quickens your mortal body. He gives life to your mortal body, not in the sweet by and by when you get to heaven. Right now, he'll strengthen you to do what he's called you to do.
In the same way you obey me, you should say, "We are unworthy." Now, when people hear that unworthy, they go, "Oh, how dare they call me unworthy?" But it's undeserving. This is the attitude he has. He's not telling us we're unworthy. So, unservice. But here's what we need to realize, that Jesus Christ done it all. And he even paved the way so we can even serve him. Otherwise, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ doing what he done, we'd all be serving the devil, because you can't serve two masters, right? And at the same time, so we'd be serving the devil like we all were before we come to Christ. So here it is. If we obey God, we consider it an honor and a privilege. It is our responsibility and duty as Christians to do the things God puts on our heart. But it is our responsibility, for sure. Okay, just as you're going to do for your father, your earthly father, good deed. You know, when you come to his house and visit today, your father's a veteran, he's sharp, and he's cooking some bratwurst. You show up, and then all of a sudden you notice he needs his lawn mowed. So you're going to go, "Hey, Dad, I've got this." do the mowing and lawn. But that don't make you his gardener. You're his son first. We're always going to be children of God before any duty of work. So until you lay that foundation and come to that revelation that you are a child of God, no matter what he tells you to do, okay, no matter what he puts before you, that if you don't have that foundation first, you're going to be serving amiss. I mean, I know that because I've done it. Okay, we are children of God first, and we're not walking in the grace of God if we don't accept this. It's the grace of God that we're even able to do this show. It's the grace of God we were able to go into a prison on Saturday and Saturday before and all that stuff. It's by the grace of God. It's not by anything we figured out or what through our wisdom. It's from the grace of God. So we need to know this. It's our responsibility and duty as Christians to operate in God's love. And that's what it is. All we're doing is operating in God's love when we're doing these things.
Yeah, and I love what you said about that he's not saying we're unworthy. I love this definition of value. Value is defined as the price determined for what something is worth. So get that. The price determined for what something is worth. So when you think about that, the price determined for what you're worth and what I'm worth and what you're worth was the blood of Jesus Christ. He gave his life. So that's how valuable we are to him. So we're not unworthy. Undeserving, yes. Only deserving because he says we deserve it. That's the only way. And we have to receive it.
God created us with his hands, and we are his workmanship with his hands, created us in Christ Jesus. So now we come to Christ, all right? We reconcile with God. We are new creatures, all right? We belong to God now, and we are then children of God. There's no child of God that is unworthy. This is a parable that Jesus used as an example. And basically, we are unworthy servants. Because that's the attitude we have to have. We are not worthy of any praise. We are not worthy of any honor. We are to do the things as they're required. So you don't, get up and applaud the waitress because she refilled your soda cup at the restaurant. She didn't do it. We're not going above and beyond our call. Okay, remember what it says in Romans 12, that this is a reasonable, give yourself as a living sacrifice. This is a reasonable service, which reasonable is reasonable, right? So it's not out of order or above the duty. You're not better than anyone else, okay? So we don't look for the glory from men. We look for the glory from God. This is it. If we're doing it and operating for personal credit, for status, or to exalt ourselves and our ministry, because I just opened up a new ministry, and I got to let everybody know I got 1,000 business cards. I'm going to start handing out, telling them what I'm doing, so they can come give me donations. I can put a post up on Facebook and all this other stuff. No, that's fine. God will absolutely, we're entitled to donations, and people want to put seed in the ground, good ground. We know that, but don't operate like that's the primary function of your ministry, okay? Because our reward is in heaven, okay? We have to be heaven. Our reward is in heaven, and we receive it now through our salvation. So we're walking in the grace of God, and even Jesus told Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." So we have to operate in that same mindset. Whatever God's doing right now, don't expect to get something special or above and beyond. You've done something, you feel special. God, no, this is an off call.
And Jesus is talking about right here. He's talking about not being ungrateful and unthankful. And we live in an entitlement generation right now that everyone thinks that they're owed something. I mean, even through the church, people think that they, when you come to church, when you come to church to see how you can help out, how you can serve, that's how we should come with that attitude of gratitude. And what Jesus is saying is, don't act like you're entitled to this. This is a plan that God had to reconcile us to him. And nothing that we did, the Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't brag about it. It's what Jesus did, not what we did. And we have to get that entitlement attitude. We got to squash it because that's from the devil. No one owes us anything. And it's our duty and our requirement to serve him. And, you know, this message kind of came to me as far as we were doing communion at church. And, you know, I was asked to talk about it and explain communion. Communion, when you take the bread and you take the cup, Jesus said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. What he's saying is when you take the bread, this is the bread. This is my body that was broken for you. His body was broken for us. Do it in remembrance of him. Do it in an attitude of gratitude. Don't do it lightly like, oh, well, you know, no. You do it and you thank God for what he did for you, the blood that was shed for you. He hung on the cross and bled out every drop of blood for the remission of sins. So when we take communion, and anyway, that's what it, just the attitude of gratitude. That's how, when you really think about what Jesus did for us, I mean, you can't but be thankful. And if you're not, check yourself.
I hate to break the news to everyone, but this is true. Because if you're walking in grace and you have the revelation that God is your Father, Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord, if you have this, not just because somebody told you to say, but this is in your heart because you believe in your heart. So if in your heart and you believe it, then you're going to do things because you understand how good God is. See, you got to get the personal touch from God or the relationship with God. And no one's any different than any other. Okay? When we diligently seek the Lord, he's going to pour back into us. We have to come show up, and he will give to us. He's a good Father.
Yes.
And we need to know that, again, it's our reasonable service, but that we're truly saved, and your book is in the Lamb's book of life, and you are marked and sealed by the Holy Spirit, and you're operating in that capacity. You are so humbled just to know, because you know that God done something good, and because you can tell the difference from when you didn't feel that way, okay? I can't describe it. You need to find out for yourself, because I can tell you about it all day, but until you experience, you're never going to know. So we have to seek God diligently and know that you're going to serve God, and you're not even going to realize you're serving God when you're walking in that revelation.
Yeah.
You're going to just do it because you're doing it. I don't even think of myself as serving God. I know I'm serving God, but I walk into prison. Well, I'm going to serve God. And I'm just doing what God called me. If I'm in the street after the show and I'm in the diner and I see somebody needs help with something, I'm not going to, hold on, gather around. Somebody go live on Facebook. I'm about to give this guy $5 for, you know what I mean? I don't call, blow the trumpet. I don't do this because I'm serving God. I do because God is in me. His love is flowing through me, and I don't even realize I'm doing it. I'm just doing it.
Yeah, and when you have the Spirit of God living in you, that's what just compels us to do it.
Yeah.
Because his Spirit in us, we have the heart of God, and his heart is that none should perish, but all come to repentance. I was reading in 2 Corinthians this morning, and this really touched, I mean, man, I felt the presence of God come in my room this morning like never before, man. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 and 11, the Bible says, "For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation." But this part right here, "not to be regretted." Man, I feel the presence of God again. "Not to be regretted." When you come to the Lord with godly sorrow, it will produce you changing your mind, changing your purpose, leading to salvation, and you don't regret it. I mean, that decision, when I was in the back of that sheriff's car, that decision, I've never regretted it one second. And it goes on to say what diligence it produced in you. And that's what you're just saying. You do it, you just do it. It's just part of who you are with the Spirit of God living in you.
I want to say to the blog radio listeners, thank you. There are about 60 seconds left, but confirmation. Joshua 24:14 tells us, "So fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly." Okay? "Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshipped, and they lived beyond Euphrates." And let's go. Serve the Lord alone. Okay? "But if you refuse to serve the Lord, choose today whom you will serve. For me and my family will serve the Lord." I'm just skipping through to get to the points which I want to make here with the scripture, because Blog Radio, if you're listening today, today is the day that you can choose. It's our choice, so don't think you've given up anything. We still have the choice to serve the Lord and the Lord alone. for me and my family. We will serve the Lord. Okay? So know this, Blog Radio listeners and Facebook listeners. We choose. We choose. And we want to thank you for listening. Call out on the name of the Lord Jesus today, and he will come into your life. He will reveal himself. Thank you, Blog Radio. God bless you all. Facebook, we're still live for a minute. So here is Joshua 24, 14, and 15. This is something that you need to watch. The Jews were serving many different people. Even though God done all this stuff for them, they've seen it. They saw the splitting of the river, the seas and all that stuff. They've seen the manna from heaven. They saw Moses strike a rock, water come out. They've seen a lot of stuff. They've seen the tablets, God. You know, this is only two generations into them being rescued from bondage in Egypt. So if they didn't see some of them, the younger ones, personally, their fathers absolutely saw it, or their grandfathers. This was something that is very, very fresh. But they decided to, when they got around other people, commingle and start worshiping other idols and even into marriages and stuff, which led them out of God's grace into the idols and stuff. So worship. So we need to know that God's merciful. He's merciful to the Israelites. The Israelites didn't really take any defense to it. And when they needed God, they called on him, that's for sure.
You know, I was reading this, and you know, when it talks about choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served. And I think about that, and in my personal life, the gods that my father served, my grandfather, my father, you know, probably my great-grandfather, my grandmother and my grandfather got divorced in the late 1950s, which was unheard of back then. My mother and father were divorced. I was divorced. You know, so the gods that my father served, you know, watching the Dallas Cowboy game, you know, my family worshiped the Dallas Cowboys. And, you know, and I look at this, whether you serve the God of your fathers that your father served on the other side of the river. Well, see, now I'm on this side of the river. And now, you know, my kids, my younger son is reconciled with his wife and his children. You know, both of my other kids are married, happily married. They're serving God. I mean, it's God will change when you choose, like you said, choose life. The Bible says that I put before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life so that you and your descendants will live. You can change the whole dynamics of your family. And you cannot serve two masters, Jesus said. You either hate one and love the other, or be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve two masters, so you have to make that decision. You have to make that decision to choose life. And when you realize it, the Bible we just talked about, we started out that Jesus gave his life for a ransom for many. And it's like you've been kidnapped by the devil. And if you're out there in Facebook and you know you've been kidnapped by the devil, understand that Jesus paid your ransom, but you have to receive it.
God's merciful, yeah, and we need to serve him. So fear the Lord and serve him for all of you. Nothing changed. Nothing changed. 2000 plus years later, wow, we didn't know that. Here's the thing. If you believe in Jesus Christ and you said a prayer, that's fine. Find a church, okay, if you're not plugged in the church. But here's the thing. Know that God has also got something he wants you to walk in, okay? There's something he specifically signed for you. To do, and we need to come to know that. Now, we're not saved by our works, we know that, but God will use us as good children, as dear children, right? The imitators of God. Jesus was our example. So just call out in the name of Jesus if you watch it, and you don't know. But also, more important, call out a name, we need to follow up with it. We need to find ourselves a good Bible-based church, or find a group of Christians that we can congregate and walk with, because when we walk alone, we're going to get caught up out there, especially in the beginning. And other people, elders, people that have been going, walking a little bit longer with Christ and more experienced, they're the ones we need to consider. Just as Peter said, we have to look to the elders and submit to the elders. So try to find a good place to congregate and good people to stay around, you know. Bad company corrupts good morals and iron sharpens iron.
That's right.
Yeah, so
that's right.
God bless
praise
everyone.
Praise the Lord. God bless y'all. And remember that God loves y'all. For God so loved the world. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we just love you. We thank you, Lord. I pray that your love just flow through these airways, Lord. And if there's anyone out there that doesn't know you, Jesus Christ, make yourself so real to them that they cannot deny it. And that they surrender to you, Lord. And we know that when we give you our life, we get yours, and it's a great exchange. Lord, I just pray that, you know, I just pray that anyone out there, Lord, just draw them to you. Jesus, we exalt your name right now. And you say, if you be exalted, you'll draw all men to you. Draw them to you right now. And we love you, and we thank you, and we just honor and worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless y'all.
Thank you for watching. John Kelly, thanks for watching. I didn't know about holidays. I didn't even recognize holidays. Yeah. Not even Christmas anymore.
Well, I
know that day, but I don't like, you know, everyone else is saying, oh, get ready.
I thought I turned it off.